So much for the privilege that the Church of the Lord has in meeting together and bowing before Thee in worship in spirit and in truth. Help us, Father, to realize the beauty that's involved in our worship today as we study together, as we pray, and as we participate in the Lord's Supper. Give us, we've been prospered, and meditate upon Thy holy word. We thank Thee so much for the privilege that we have in our worship service today. And throughout all the time that we gather together in the congregation, we thank Thee for the brethren here and for all the heart that they have in regard to the needs of people round about and the services that we can render to various ones, not only here in this local area, but in faraway places too, where troubles and difficulties have come. We're thankful for the spirit of Crockett that's found in those places too, and much appreciated are those brethren and friends that are in need, that have been assisted and helped by this congregation of people. We thank Thee for the opportunity that we have to live in America, knowing that this particular republic, our government is so set upon ways of discussion and debate and decision making that good can come as a result of it. And we're prayerful that that will be the case, and that more and more will see the need to become people who are honoring the right things of God rather than the poorest things of mankind. Bless our republic and bless the United States of America in every good and godly way. Help us to realize along the way our families are in great need too, and to use the kind of discipline with them, the kind of words and discussions and prayers with them that will make all the difference with their love for Thee and following after Thee. These things we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's look at chapter number 390.
There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to
with one.
47 through 56. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life, and I am that bread of life. For your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man eat thereof, and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and the blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him.
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this fruit, this bread, which is the symbol of our Savior's body that was given upon that cross in our stead. We pray that those who partake will examine themselves and partake in a most righteous way. We thank thee, Father, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We continue our thanks, O Heavenly Father, for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that was shed upon the cross for our sins. Father, we pray again that we may examine ourselves, that as we partake of this, that we'll do so in a manner be pleasing unto thee. Thank you for loving us as you have, and thank you for your Son so much. In Jesus' name we pray.
Father, again, we're so thankful for all the many blessings you have given us. We're especially thankful for our Son Jesus died on the cross. Dear Father, we're thankful for all the jobs that we have and the privilege we have in this country. We pray that you be with each one of us now that we get back to thee according to thy will. Open a cheerful heart. Give us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We have 24 present this morning. Today is December 22nd. 2019 for taping purposes. If you would at this time, let's mark our song books at number 692. 692 will be the song of invitation after Brother Robert's lesson. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 72. 72. Come, let us all unite to sing, God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring, God is love. Let every soul from sin away, each in his heart sweet music make, and sing with us.
Spirit turned our night to day.
Sign out front, advertisements to everybody that the study today of the topic would be God. And that's an abbreviation for God the Father and God the Son, because we want to talk about the relationship that we have with this God today. As we read in Genesis chapter 1 in reference to this matter, a very familiar verse of Scripture, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But if we will, let's take a look at what science says about the things of the earth. Scientists tell us, back yonder in the days of the 1700s, that there would be seen here on earth, there is the force and time and space. There would be matter. And there would be the essence that we see. And in the beginning of the scripture, in the very first verse, let's read it once again. In the beginning, time. God, the ultimate force, created the energy necessary. The heavens, space, and the earth, matter. As we work with that particular idea, we see that God, in the very beginning of time, set forth the idea of His majesty and His wonderful ways. When we're talking about a wonderful way of God, we're talking about a way that is awesome, described in such terms as that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and beginning of verse 1, he says, "Blessed be God, who's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God of all comfort and the God of all mercies, who comforts us in any time of our affliction with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are to go and comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we are comforted of God." We're to use the comfort that God provides to you and me. As we look at God in the circumstances that we face, we ask God's forgiveness to overcome illnesses that we may face. We go back to the scientists and the studies that have been done, and we accept the type of medication that will help us to overcome that particular illness as we go along. We thank God and we thank the world in which we live. I did not say it this morning in the prayer that I led. I thought about it and I said, no, I'll say that in the sermon itself, so I'll leave that out of the prayer itself. But most of the time in prayers that I have with people who are sick, I thank God first that we live in a generation of time where things have been discovered that can be of help to us as we face physical ailments in life. And as a result of facing those physical ailments in life, take the medications that are provided for us and maybe overcome those situations. Always looking unto God, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Indeed, we want to be people who serve the cause of the Almighty. When we talk about God Himself, we're talking about a God who sent His Son. And the love that God has, as John 3 and verse 16, is a vivid description in the verse itself. For God so loved the world. How much love? So loved. When you talk about so love, you're talking about something that is beyond explanation. It's beyond the numbers. It's beyond the expectation. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The one son of a kind He gave to Him, He gave to us, that those who believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you and I find our faith in Him and our ways, we find where the God of heaven tells us we ought to have it. He gave His only begotten Son so that that would be the case. This God who made us in time and energy and made us in regard to the ways of life and space and everything in life, He is the ultimate force that created the way that Jesus came, born of a Virgin Mary. Isaiah 7 at verse 13 and 14 tells us vividly that He would be born Emmanuel of the Virgin, would be born. And in Matthew chapter 1, a reference is made to this fact, and that she would bear a son and would call His name Jesus, Savior, for He shall save His people from their sins. Our Lord God of heaven sent Jesus to save people from sin. Now, what's sin described in Galatians chapter 5? The works of the flesh are referred to as sins of life. Those works of the flesh are identified in the kind of terms that we have all the way from our ways of life that are sinful and wrong to the ways of murder and deception, lies and falsehoods, and the ways of life that are filled with certainly only fleshly pleasures. Those things are described as sins, of the which I tell you before, Paul writes, as I've told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to heaven. They're not headed that way. In practicing this way of life that is referred to as a sinful, wrong way of life. So we need to follow the way of the Son. And in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, it speaks regarding Jesus, the Son of God. Though He were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey Him. I need to get busy about obeying Him. I need to be busy about it because He will save me in the end. Whereas He's promised in this regard through Paul in Galatians 5 that they who do the works of the flesh shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the blessings of being in the kingdom. What are the blessings of being in the kingdom? Well, it's described, I think, the best in Colossians 1 at verse 13. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. God is praised who has delivered us out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Out of darkness we came into the kingdom of God's dear Son. By His blood we've been cleansed from our sins. Wonderful way of life we have now because of Jesus and His way. When we love Him like that and we'll follow His way and His will, we'll follow the way that the Heavenly Father wanted us to go. He wanted to send His Son. His Son thought that He understood what it meant to suffer like He did. But in the reality, the suffering of it was the actual telling Him of the way that the pain would be. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things that He suffered. He learned the ways of obeying God. He learned that God would be with him, that God would resurrect him. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, it tells us, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He shall also raise your mortal body. He will help you as you live mortally here upon this earth. The Spirit of God will so direct your life and direct the Word in your life to call upon you to be the faithful people of God. We're talking about God the Father and God the Son, and how that He made things to be right. When Jesus our Lord came before His disciples from the coast of Caesarea Philippi, in Matthew 16, beginning verse 13, it is said regarding Him that He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, they had all sorts of prophets in their names that they would mention about him. Some say that you are John the Baptist resurrected from the dead also. But Jesus then said, whom say ye that I am? They had been with him. They had seen the miracles that he had done, the teaching that he had given, the kind of assurance that he had given to them. Simon Peter spoke up, impetuous Simon Peter, would quickly say, but he said a great truth in this matter, Jesus said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Noticed in regard to this matter, my Father's revealing this to you is the truth. It's the way that's right. And it's the way of the Heavenly Father. When you and I find Jesus, we find the way of the Heavenly Father. And when we find Jesus in obedience, he became the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. Hebrews 5 verse 9. So thus it is that as I obey him, I look up to him. I look up to him in praise and in thanksgiving that he could forgive me of things said and done, misbehaviors that have been a part of my life. And that there can be a new way of life that I can live, a new hope that I have now. In Romans chapter 6, Paul will write in regard to this matter where the brethren at Rome had found themselves in Christ, but they found themselves going back to an old way of life, an old way of sin. And he opens up the chapter in Romans 6 and 1 saying, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound for us? They had the idea that the more they sinned, the more required of grace to forgive them. And thus they needed to sin more so that they'd have closer connections with God in the amount of his grace that would be given to them. Paul says, how shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? He had said, God forbid that we think this way. How many of us have died to sin? How can we live any longer therein? He goes on to say, know you not that so many of us as were buried with him by baptism into his death were raised to walk in newness of life. That new life began when we were immersed into Christ Jesus. That new life connected his death. Where did he shed his blood? Jesus shed his blood in his death. Ah, now then I connect what? I connect with the blood of Christ in the waters of baptism. I find that new way of life that I can be raised to walk, and I begin to walk that new way of life. As I begin to walk that new way of life, I may go back to some of the things that I used to do, and used to say, used to be. But listen to Paul writing to Romans in Romans 6 about continuing in sin, what they might do. He says, Romans 6, verse 16, he says, but God be thanked that whereas you were the servants of sin, you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered to you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Notice when they became the servants of righteousness, when they obeyed that form of doctrine delivered to them. What form of doctrine is he discussing in Romans chapter 6? The only form he's discussing is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. We have died to our sins in repenting. We have been buried with him in the waters of baptism. And we've been raised to walk a new way of life. Now then, God be thanked that whereas you were the servants of sin, you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants. Literally, you became enslaved under righteousness. If we're enslaved under righteousness, when we don't do the righteous thing in the words that we say, the righteous deeds and the kind of deeds that we do, the righteous kind of talk and conversation that we have, then we find ourselves regretting that and we want to come back to the way of God. How can we come back? 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, talking to people who are already in fellowship with the Father and the Son, already in fellowship with them. Read up the earlier verses in 1 John chapter 1 in reference to this. In the context of being in the fellowship of the Father and the Son, he tells us that if we confess our sins, if he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why do we do that? We want to come back to God. We want to come back to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the way of the world in which we live. It's foolish to stay. We want to come back to him. And as a result, day by day, we find ourselves in prayer asking God's forgiveness for the things we've said, done, the misbehavior that's been a part of our lives, because we don't want to live in the unrighteous way of life. We want to live in the righteousness of God. And he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we do what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is not said to those outside of Christ, not said to those who have yet come into a fellowship with the Father and the Son. Paul is writing about the fellowship with the Father and the Son back there in Romans 6, how that they came out of sin into that fellowship with the Father and the Son. But this is talking about a fellowship with the Father and the Son that we're living in. And now then, what do? We do things that are not right. We say things that are not right. We misbehave in life. What does he say to do? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. He hadn't given up on us. He hadn't quit us. He is faithful and just. And he will cleanse us from our sins and from all unrighteousness. He'll forgive us of our sins we've done and cleanse us from unrighteousness. What about the next time I'm tempted to do such a thing? You'll have a more strength to overcome that. You'll have a greater awareness of what's really involved with that sin of words said and deeds done. And as a result of that, you'll be able to more resist it, more successfully resist it, and thank the Lord for it. For he has made us the servants and slaves to righteousness. If we're not doing right, we ought to be bothered. We ought to be troubled. And we ought to come daily to him in prayer. He'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing it is to have the Father and the Son. This God of heaven represents this way. He sent his Son. Where's the Holy Spirit in this matter? Well, before the Son left this earth to his disciples, he called them together. Read there in John chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17. You read the connection that Jesus has to each one of the disciples. He tells the disciples, I'll go to be with the Father. If I do not go to be with the Father, the Spirit of God will not come unto you. But I will pray the Father, and he will send the Spirit of God upon you. He goes on to tell them in this regard, John 16 and 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you, you disciples, you apostles. He'll guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. He's not coming to represent just himself. But what will he do? He'll not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. This Holy Spirit came to them and directed them to proclaim the message that you and I read today. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts and Romans. 1 and 2 Corinthians. On down the line to the book of Revelation. And finally, John's words will have the words of Jesus himself and heaven on the throne when he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He tells us in that regard in the Revelation that he is there awaiting our coming, awaiting to give us that eternal rest. Is it a job to live on this earth? Yes, it is. Is it a job to resist temptation? Yes, it is. Is there a way in which he can give us strength to do that? He says, I will do that. If you will, with my Son and my reference to fellowship, confess your wrongdoings, then I will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We'll be stronger as we resist those trials and temptations as we go forth in life. Thank you for your listening and study with us today. If you happen to be subject to Jesus' invitation today, realize that all things are ready for you, and you can obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ as the people did there in Rome, and as Paul did there, describing himself by the plural pronouns, we were baptized into Christ. We were raised to walk in newness of life. So it is you can do that today if you come as we stand and as we sing this song of encouragement.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling for you and for me. Sitting on the He's waiting and watching for you and for me.
God bless you, everyone. We trust to see you this evening if you can, but at the same time, remember that Wednesday night we'll not be doing our regular Wednesday night classes this week or next week as we go toward the new year. Next time will be in January the 8th. God bless you all. Thank you for your study with us today.
Let's not forget before you leave today, cards are alphabetized up here. Come and get your cards. Right after we have our last song and prayer. Let's turn to number 408. 408. Oh, the delight me, blessed Redeemer, is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of your treasure, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thy own
loving Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day, for this time that we've been able to gather together. Father, to gather around the sun's table and to sing songs of praise and hear another word from thy gospel. And Father, we're thankful to you that you made this world, as it's told to us in Genesis, that out of the matter of this world, great things have been created for mankind here on this earth. To help us to stay healthy, to feed us, to transport us everywhere, to have a place to live, Father. Everything in this matter, you have provided, and we give it not to you, but for us. But above the things of this matter, Father, we are so grateful for the love that you had for us that exceeded all the things of this world, and that you sent your Son into the world to die for our sins, to teach us the things that you'd have us to know, and Father, to provide a path, even for eternity, to spend with you in heaven. We're thankful for Brother Robert in this lesson today. As we go to our homes now, Father, we ask you to be with us. Give us safe passage. We ask you to care for our sick brothers and sisters in Christ and in our families. And Father, we ask you to watch over us and care for us as we know that you will. Forgive us of our sins, Father, for these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.